Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's 5 o'clock and it's Wednesday, and if it's 5 o'clock and it's Wednesday and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, then you're listening to me, Phil Colicchio, the host of The Business of the Business. That's the show here on the Heritage Radio Network that explores the business side of the hospitality industry, and we do that from various angles and various platforms. Sometimes we look at restaurants, sometimes we look at hotels, sometimes we look at resorts. Sometimes we look at big luxury yachts. Sometimes we look at food on airplanes. And sometimes we look at the money that's behind all of these things. If you miss our show live, and occasionally someone misses it live, you can go to the archive on heritageradionetwork.org. Click on to the business series and the business of the business, and you can listen to any one of our recorded shows. I actually have people tell me they do that, which fascinates me. That means you can select a topic as you go along. We were brought to the show today by the dulcet sounds of the Punch Brothers, movement and location, particularly apropos for today. Because my guest today, following up on his terrific interview last week, is Charlie Harari. Charlie is the CEO of the H3 Venture Fund. He is an attorney. He is formerly general counsel to a large commercial real estate group. And most importantly, he is a child of the hospitality industry. He told us last week about growing up in an immigrant family's pizza business that gave him the springboard to success and understanding the values that come along with hard work and the anticipation of needs. Charlie, thanks for coming back.
It is great to be back. Thanks so much for inviting me back.
More than welcome, because your last interview time was actually so inspiring. We didn't talk about your current role as a teacher. I mean, you've got a television show, you've got an investment company, you've got a company that that provides entrepreneurial advice, but you're a teacher. There's a particular class I know that you teach. The principles of success. Talk to me about that, and please remember the people who listen to this show are usually people who are working in the hospitality industry, who have goals, who are not just sort of spending time waiting for the next thing, that they've chosen the hospitality industry as a real focal point in their lives. Are the principles of success universal principles?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, and it's just it's a great honor to be on your show, and I appreciate being back here. You know, it took this class, and when I went to the school, we were talking about, you know, what class the students need to have. One of the points that I made that I see in the business world is that most of success, as people define it, are really based on the application of principles. It's not that somebody usually stumbles into it or sort of has it or doesn't have it. They have to almost be, when you see someone being successful, you can almost look at it and study it and go, wait a second, What did they do? What did they follow? What were the principles that they used that enabled them to be successful? And as a business person, especially if you're out there in a world like the hospitality industry, which is a fast-paced world,
I'll say,
where you're always on, where you always have to be better. You can't just come up with something and then rely on it for the next 20 years because you won't have 20 years.
That's right.
There is a constant flow and a need to be ahead. What I teach my students is that when you see something that has been successful, what you have to do first is study it the way a scientist would study matter. You look at it and go, okay, why? What are the principles? Why did that hotel make it? Why did that restaurant explode? Why did that hospitality industry or idea or product make it more than somebody else? What were the principles behind it? Was it how they did it? What can I follow and what can I use when I pull it out and understand it from a principle perspective that if I applied it to my business, it would get better?
Now, when you use the word principle, I'm interpreting it as a sort of a core value.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes those are ethical core values, right? Principles. My principles will not allow me to do that. My ethics will not allow me to do that. It sounds like the way you teach is a combined notion of moral purpose as well as sort of a business guiding business principle.
Yeah, and it's a great point you're making up. When I thought of the principles, I look at it from the word of element. But as you're saying it, it's funny because that's exactly where I'm trying to get people, which is the end of the day, all business should be to a social purpose. And a value-driven business is a business that's going to last. If you really want your business to be a business that's going to last, the question you ask yourself every day is, am I delivering value to my customer, to my end user? Is my hotel, is my restaurant, is my mobile technology delivering a value to somebody that they're going to enjoy? And then when that becomes your focus, when you have that element, that principle as your driver, that's how you build a business around it.
So somebody out there who's listening today is either employed in the hospitality industry, is either an owner of the an entity within the hospitality industry, or is an investor in it in some way, shape, or form. Sometimes investors, as you know, are consumers, right?
Yeah.
What type of principles of success specifically should they be focusing on? Let's take an industry that everybody feels they know. Right, the restaurant industry, just like everybody, everybody's taking a foul shot, so they think they can be experts on how to shoot a free throw. But in the hospitality industry, the principles of success, where do you focus?
So let's start right away with this concept of value-driven business.
Yep.
Restaurant business is an amazing business that way, which is you see restaurants fail and succeed because they miss this principle. They come into a market and they either create a price point that's beyond the market. The customers in the market can't really sustain it. It doesn't really work at the level that they have the prices for. And even though the food may be better, the market, the neighborhood, that industry just can't sustain it. The question you ask yourself right away is, how can I drive value to my customers? And let me give you a couple of great examples. There's a restaurant that I know that I'm friends with that I didn't invest in financially, but just personally. Mm-hmm. And they were struggling a little bit. And one day the manager took his team together and said, here's a story. Look around this restaurant. You see moms and little kids. You see people coming in the middle of the day looking for a lunch in the middle of a busy work day. You've got two older people that are retired. Look around at these people. And everyone looked around and goes, I want you to see that every person in your restaurant is a story. There's a person behind them. There's a day. They're exhausted, or they're running, or they're trying to reconnect, or they're on a date. Your job is not just to serve them food. Your job is, and they walk into the experience called this restaurant, that they walk away and they feel that everything around this experience was positive. Because one positive thought from you could make or break that person's day.
You know, it sounds like you're talking. I mean, I know that you do as part of your what I'll call your ministry, because it's clearly not just a job for you. I mean, part of your ministry is to help people who are in those management positions, help them inspire the people who work for them, help to motivate them in intellectually honest ways.
Yeah.
Right? Talk to me about how important that is, the inspiring performance in the workplace.
Yeah. Most, when I speak to managers, I do seminars on this type of stuff, inspiring employees.
Before we even go there, if I'm a manager and I want to have you come in and talk to my folks, do I go to charlieharari.com?
That's it. Just go to the website and we're ready to roll.
And that website is Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, Harari, H-A-R-A-R-Y.com. If you go to that website and your host, dear listeners, has done so, you'll find an array of the great entrepreneurial services that Charlie and his partners provide. We're going to talk a little bit later about his television show. We're going to talk a little bit later about some of his speaking engagements. But I interrupted you right at a key moment because I wanted people to be able to say, "Hey, I can go get this guy." We're talking about when you speak to managers about inspiring their employees.
Yeah, and what managers forget sometimes is that their job is not just to make their customers happy. Their job is to make their employees happy.
Yeah.
And a happy employee is an inspired employee, because here's the story, and this happens everywhere, especially in the hospitality industry, where they're dealing with people all day, and sometimes customers forget that people in hospitality are people, and they take their bad day on them. And if they're waiting an extra half an hour, I remember we spoke last week about my dad and being in the pizza store. I remember growing up and where a pizza oven would go down, and people would be waiting online for 10 more minutes. And the level of some of the rhetoric that came out of their mouths, I'm thinking to myself, my father is in the back sweating, and you wait 10 minutes, and like, that's what hospitality is. You get the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, but you got now I'm gonna press you, because so your dad's an owner, right? And so you know you're the owner. You have to take the grief when you're not delivering. When you talk to managers and we're using the hospitality industry as a framework here, but when you talk to managers and you're reminding them to value their employees, give me a specific. I mean, I think examples are important.
Yeah. So that's the point, which is these employees. Let's take a restaurant, a diner.
I'm a manager, Charlie. Tell me, I'm asking you. I've got a group of employees. You know, they work hard. I try to let them know that they're valued, but it's not getting through, and I'm losing them. What should I be doing?
You should be taking them, if whatever area you're in, you should be taking your employees and asking yourself as a manager, are my employees inspired? Now, what that means, the way you inspire someone is with one word, purpose. What inspires people is purpose. All you need to be inspired, it's not lack of pain, it's purpose. The reason why we scream in front of a television for a football game is because we've attached ourselves with purpose to those. We don't even care about the players, right? Because if we trade a guy, we don't like him anymore. We're rooting for
the laundry, as Mr. Seinfeld
exactly.
said.
Exactly. It's the laundry. We love them. And what that means is that as long as I attach myself to purpose, I'll do anything. Your job as a manager, and this is hard, is to make sure you can convince your employees that what they're doing has purpose. It's not just a check. It's not just delivering service so that the person who gets it gets an experience that they'll pay for. Whatever's going on in your hospitality environment, there's a purpose to it beyond the food.
So I want now, I'm still that manager, and I say, okay, Mr. Harari, I buy into that. I'm trying to articulate the purpose now to this group of people who get ground down by the daily. Am I reaching out to say the purpose is not just to create an experience, but to create a real memorable experience, a memory? There's one hospitality group that I work with that I was actually quite impressed with, and it sounds like you would be impressed with. They sent out a video holiday greeting. And it was a greeting of individual employees telling me, thanking me for supporting them and calling themselves memory makers.
Yeah, that's the type of stuff. Now, what managers do, and this is where I find a lot of managers trip up, they are overwhelmed with the business of running the company, running the restaurant, and they've got bills, and they've got creditors, and they've got payments to make, and their lives sometimes feels overwhelmed. The last thing they need to think about is whether employees are happy, because you know what? They're paying them, and you know what? They don't even know if they can pay them this month, because the checks aren't coming in, and it's a slow month. You think I got to worry about my employee? You know what? I'm paying my employee's job. Do me a favor. What about me? And where managers don't realize is that an inspired employee is going to bring you in the long term much more than you can ever ask for. Because by you connecting to purpose, which it could be a memory maker, it could be, I have one manager who tells his employees, your job, if you are volunteering in a soup kitchen and you see someone coming up to you and you give them soup with a smile because you know your job isn't soup, it's encouragement. That smile gives the person more than the food. He tells his employees, when you see, I don't care what they look like, when you see someone, you give them food, well, you don't realize what you can be doing when you give them that smile. Those employees say, wait a second, my job isn't just to serve some food. I'm in a position where I can make someone's day. Even if it's not going to change their life, I can make their day.
Yeah, and you know what? And obviously, that's a principle that goes far beyond the hospitality industry, but you know, I'm fond of saying that the hospitality industry bleeds into every other industry. It's an industry that is critical to our economy. It employs more people than I think any other industry in the United States. But it also works as a springboard for people. If you've had I almost don't know anyone of reasonable success in their later years, business success, that doesn't have a story about how they waited tables, or how they, or how they had a summer job, busing at a restaurant, or if they're lucky, tending bar, right?
Yeah,
which is how I got lucky. We're here today with Charlie Harari, brilliant entrepreneur. His website is charliehararyhararyi.com, charliehararyi. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about his TV show. Boy, if you could only see him, I know we're on radio, but boy, this is a TV star if there ever was one sitting right here. Hey, Phil Colicchio, we'll be back with the business of the business right after this.
Program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. To indict my movement.
Ooh.
it's almost a sin to come back in the middle of a Punch Brothers song like that. Movement and Location from the Punch Brothers from their Who's Feeling Young Now album. They're working on a new album right now. If you listen to the show regularly, you know that I am a fan of not just their music, but of what their music does to people who listen to it. It lifts them up. And we're here today with another guy who lifts people up, Charlie Harari. Charlie, as you know, is a child of the hospitality industry. He uses the principles that he has learned. I guess learned is the wrong word, that have welled up in him from childhood. And he uses them today in his entrepreneurial life, both as a teacher, as an investor, as a public speaker, and as a motivator. So we were talking before we broke off about the tough life of a manager. When we broke, it actually occurred to me, I wanted to move in a different tack than we originally thought, because I felt, you know, there are a lot of people who listen to this show who manage other people. And they have to, that has to wear you down. And you know that you almost, there are days when you just want to ignore your responsibilities to those people and say, we've brought you far enough. Can't you do this on your own? Isn't somebody just going to do this on their own? That's kind of cheating those employees, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
And I know that you talk in particular about the plus one theory of management. If anybody listening to this show manages people in a restaurant, people in a hotel, people in a classroom, listen to what Charlie's going to tell you, because it's gold.
Well, I appreciate that. We spend a lot of time on this plus one theory, and this is a theory that really applies a lot when you're teaching and when you're managing. And when you're a good teacher knows, and any teacher gets this intuitively, that it is unfair to demand of students what they know. You can't walk into a classroom and expect the students to get you, to know you, and you can't be frustrated with them when they're not in your head. You think about this a lot. You're the professor. Even within the student base, a good teacher knows that they have different levels of students, and their job is not to set a standard by them and say, swim up to me. The job of a great teacher is to set the standard individually, and you figure out where people are, and you move what we call plus one. The job of any great teacher is to figure out, where are my students and how do I get them to inspire them to swim up themselves plus one? What I find a lot of times in businesses is managers and owners, and this happens to people, this is an investor problem I find, that investors aren't even in the business sometimes. And I have friends of mine that are investors, and I say, you can't just show up and tell people what to do. Like, you have a vantage point that other people don't. And managers in particular, they're very stressed. It's not an easy job being a manager. And if you're a manager listening right now, you're probably shaking your head going, you are right, because it is not an easy job.
No. And herding cats.
Yeah.
Is right.
And you've got to deal with politics and drama that you don't want to deal with, because you've got a business to run.
Right. But like I say, I am going to role play, right? I am that manager. Help me. What my plus one is to help that employee or that student reach the next level of understanding?
Yeah. What a manager, the way a manager grows a business is he takes an honest assessment of how his business is doing. This happens very infrequently, because most of us see the business through the eyes of what it should be when they want it to be, mm-hmm. or when their investors want it to be, or when their creditors want it to be.
Right.
And we jump steps. We expect a lot. We get frustrated, because no one is operating at our pace. But there's a reason why you're the manager and you're the employer. The people around you, first of all, the business itself, the first thing you have to do is take an honest assessment. How are we doing?
Sure.
For real, how are we doing? What's it like? What's the service like? What's the feedback like? As soon as you get that, what becomes natural is the desire to pop up into the dreamland, to jump up, to turn to the employee and go, "You missed, you know, you came late yesterday. I want you here on time every day," and to turn that person 5 or 6 steps up the ladder. The job of a manager is to be able to see the top, but go down to where that employee or where the business is and go, "Okay, here's a story. Here's where we are. Let's see if this we can get a plus one. Just plus one. I know you're next level. I can see you. I think you can get up one." This is where patience, which is the hardest virtue,
I was just going to say,
plays a role.
You're saying the P word.
Yeah.
Who's got time for that?
And this is where when you as a manager, your job is to invest in potential. When you see an employee, you have to gauge their potential. Because if you have somebody that has potential and you spend the time taking them a plus one, you have a friend and an employee for life. And in the hospitality industry in particular, it's a high turnover industry.
Charlie, you're an expert. And I have this little debate with – I manage people sometimes. I try my best. I fail, but I try. And there are those moments in time I instinctively – and it's not a good quality or a bad quality. It's just a quality. I instinctively will try to do the things, the most menial task that I ask employees to do. I try to do it myself, right? Is that the right thing to do for a manager? Should he try to do that, or should he say, "You know what? My job is this and your job is that"? I think there's two schools of thought. What do you think?
You know, it's an interesting question, and you mentioned earlier, which I think is how many great managers come, is most great managers grew up doing it.
Yeah.
They were at the bar, they were waiting the tables, and they didn't just show up and say, "Okay, guys." They actually know what the work is. If you're managing activity, I think you have to have done it at least a few times. Yeah. You can't tell somebody that they should or shouldn't be waiting tables a certain way if you haven't literally walked around and taken an order and gotten that feedback. And
yeah.
You have to experience it. But if you're going to stay
in
it.
That's the Disney thing, right?
Right?
Which I'm always impressed with. Those of you who don't know, if you go to work for the Disney company, whether you're going into the executive suite or whether you're going to be mopping floors, you begin your time at the absolute bottom for a couple of weeks just to see how the company works.
Right. And that's one of the things that I love about small family businesses.
Yeah.
Is that this is what you do. When you're a kid, I mean, I grew up, I remember, you know, summers where my dad had to go into the city and I was manning pizza ovens. And like, I'd rather be playing basketball, but it's not like I was a kid and that's what you did in your father's store. And you learn from the ground. And the best managers are managers that understand their employees. They know what they're going through. And here's where most managers trip up. They think that if they set the bar too high, they'll get more productivity. It never ends up working out that way. It could be short term.
We're back to plus one.
Yeah.
Right? We're back to plus one. It sounds like a great theory to work toward. When you do your talks, we're attorneys, right? So the Socratic method is natural to us. I ask questions, you answer. I ask questions based upon your answer. I ask more questions. When you've got managers and you're speaking to managers, how do you get them into that mindset of patience? Because it occurs to me more than anything that's the thing that we have. Time is our, you know, I often, when I'm late, and I'm late sometimes, you know, I say time is my enemy, and I got to stop that, don't I?
Yeah.
Right. Time is my friend, and I've got to be patient with it. How else can you do your job, really?
Right. And to me, where we trip up, managers, is we don't appreciate the investment in people. That we see employees as those that are going to help us achieve our dreams. Those employees are going to help the business prosper or help me meet my quota or help me get the cases done. We see employees as means to the larger company ends. When we see employees as the ends into themselves, this is a person that I want, but when they leave my stead, to be the best person they can be, that person immediately senses this person is not using me for the business. they're using the business in a way for me. Now, that one shift takes a person in from using their hands to using their heart. And one good employee with a heart is equal to 10 employees with just hands. And that's how you build great business.
We're listening to Charlie Harari, among other of his successful areas, is as an intuitive, motivational, occupational speaker. I hope you'll go to his website if you manage people, which is charlieharari.com. Charlie, if I owned a restaurant, I'd want you to come in and talk to my managers.
Well, thank you.
If I owned a hotel, I'd want you to come in and talk to my managers. Because I think what we've gotten out of your theories today is that while the hospitality industry is a great framework, all things are hospitality. All business is hospitality. All business is anticipating needs, the needs of your customer, the needs of your employees, right, and your own needs, right?
Yep.
It's all about that. Charlie, before we go, I want to talk a little bit about your television show.
Sure.
I've seen a little bit of it, but it airs regularly on the Jewish Channel, which is available on a lot of cable networks. It's available on mine at home, which is Comcast. I know it's available here in the city. Tell me about the show.
Well, the show was born out of an idea of trying to take the classroom to the people. I love the class. I love teaching. And more importantly, teaching elements of success is exciting because we want people to be successful. And when you're in a academic setting, this is what you do. You figure things out. You give people a chance to know. But why does it have to only be relegated to students? What about someone who's on the street that's past school? So we came up with this idea to do a show that's almost a hybrid where there are elements where I'm in class literally on the board showing something, and then I go out to the street. And for this pilot that we did, we had Scott Reckler from the head of RXR, and we spoke about the concept of visualization. And we used a restaurateur as
that was what kind of intrigued me.
And we even went to a kindergarten, and we saw how one principle called visualizing that which is in here actually applies in real estate, in hospitality, and in teaching nursery, teaching kindergarten. And then we tie it all back together in a classroom.
So when you say visualize something that's not here, and you applied it in the show to the restaurant industry, talk about that, because I found it really interesting.
Where great ideas happen and where great business happens is when people aren't stuck in the world that they're in right now. They allow themselves the time and the creativity to picture that in which they dream of. Dreams are real stuff. Dreams, like we spoke about Walt Disney, the famous story of Roy Disney when, you know, Walt was had passed away when they opened, you know, Disneyland. And they asked Roy, what a shame that Walt didn't see it. And Roy said, what? He's seen it a million times. Right?
Yeah.
Great people see things that others don't because they allow themselves to. Great real estate guys see what a building could look like when it looks like a dump.
Yeah.
Great restaurateurs see offerings in food and mixtures that other people go, that would never work. Who would want that? They're constantly trying to see that which isn't here today. That's the essence of entrepreneurialism.
Boy, and if you can't walk away from the business of the business with anything other than that great summary, then I haven't done my job giving Charlie a platform, because I think that's a great way for us to exit today. Charlie, I want to thank you very, very much for coming in, for sharing your ideas, for sharing your principles, for relating them all to the hospitality industry, and being a child of the industry, and recognizing how important the ethic that you learned in that industry is, not just in your life, but in the lives of the people that you coach and your students. And it inspired me. So thank you for coming in today. Charlie Harari, it's CharlieHarari.com. Please go to his website and you can see the various and sundry services that he provides with his company. Charlie's an investor. And he specifically told me before we went on that anybody who's got a great hospitality idea should feel free to contact him on his website, and that he'll talk with you and help you get on your way to success. This is Phil Colicchio for the Business of the Business, signing off for this week. Going to see you after the Grand Cayman Cookout, heading up next week. When I come back, I'll tell you a few stories from that. Look forward to seeing you next time. Till then, Phil Colicchio, the Business of the Business. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.